All right, welcome back to Talking Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Kerry Crowley out here at Truist Park getting ready for the Giants and the Braves. Game three of this three-game set, end of a nine-game road trip for San Francisco. And it's time to bring on our next guest, Dom Catronio, statistician for the Milwaukee Brewers broadcast team. And the Milwaukee Brewers are coming to San Francisco, but Dom Catronio is here with the TBS broadcast at Truist Park in Atlanta. So a real treat to do this live. Dom, what's happening this morning?
Dude, this is amazing to finally see you. It's been a long time. I don't think I can speak of the last time I saw you, at least on the radio anyway, of where we were. But it's been great to be here. Turner's been interesting to watch the NL form its playoff picture. We're looking ahead to what the Giants are going to be like in the NL West because, again, TBS has the National League playoffs. So really excited for what should be, I mean, potentially an NLCS matchup if both these teams win their divisional series as it looks out right now. So it should be fun.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, next door here to us at Truist Park in the broadcast booth is your TBS team, and you guys are already talking about playoff scenarios, and it's fascinating to me. The Giants, the Braves, the Dodgers, and the Brewers are the four teams that are pretty much assuredly in the mix right now, waiting to see who that second wild card team could be, but the Brewers should have the National League Central wrapped up, you know, mid-end of September, and this is a Milwaukee team that I don't want to say has overachieved, but has gotten pretty much all it could out of its talent this season. What to you has been kind of the secret to their success over Milwaukee?
Well, the last time we talked, Kerry, it was all about Willie Adames. And it was still about a month and a half into his arrival. And you look at what we affectionately call Willie Adames Day in May 22nd, the first day he played for the Brewers. They have the best record in baseball since that day. They were a 500 team before he arrived, and now they're 29 games over 500, which if they get to 30 at some point this year, it would be the first time they've hit 30 games over 500 since 2011. So it's an impressive group. You look at the offense before Willie Adames and the offense after, he's the vital cog for it. But look, and everyone's talked about this nationally, it's the pitching staff. And Joey Votto definitely gave some fuel to that this week when he said the Brewers staff as a whole, the entire pitching staff, including the bullpen, is the hardest he's ever faced. So you look at it top to bottom, right? Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, Freddy Peralta as your big three-headed monster, all of them with sub-3 ERAs. And before Freddy got hurt, there was a chance that all three of them could have 200 strikeouts. So pretty impressive group right there. And then you look at the bullpen. Brad Boxberger is having maybe the best year of his career, you know, and he's the seventh inning guy, and he's been unbelievable as far as his consistency. He's pitched in the most games for the Brewers. He's been healthy all year. He has pitched in every role that Craig Counsell has asked of him. He's got the seventh. Devin Williams, he had a slow start to the year because remember, his spring training was cut short. He didn't even get to pitch in spring training until the very last week of it. So a lot of folks were worried in April and May, like, oh man, is Devin hitting a sophomore slump? He went on the IL in June for some elbow inflammation, cleaned that up. He was gone for a little less than a month. And since then, he has been absolutely lights out, dominant rookie of the year form. He's allowed one earned run in his last nearly 30 innings. So he's the changeup is back, the airbender, as everyone knows him. And then, oh, by the way, you've got the four-time All-Star Josh Hader coming out of the bullpen, still pumping 97. Now he's throwing a changeup, too? It's insane because he's got this fastball, obviously you know about, the wipeout slider that can go back foot to righties. And another wrinkle, hey, I can throw a changeup, too, now. It's just to keep you off his fastball. And if you have a three-pitch closer, and oh, by the way, it's Josh Hader, I can see where Joey Votto's coming from there. The pitching has been huge, and you look into a playoff series that you can throw a guy like Aaron Ashby, a 97-mile-an-hour lefty, or you can throw a guy like Errol Lauer, he's 95-mile-an-hour cutters, and you throw a guy like, you know, Brett Anderson, even, who can be a loogie in the playoffs and just come in and get that left-on-left matchup and move on and get a ground ball if he needs it. This is a deep, scary pitching staff when runs are at their biggest premium in the postseason.
So the Giants win 5-0 on Saturday night in Atlanta. I'm checking the statistics. It's their 15th shutout victory of the season. Ties who else but the Milwaukee Brewers atop the National League. The two teams with 14, the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves. There's a recurring theme here, and Logan Webb was the guy responsible for throwing seven innings for the Giants on Saturday night. He was absolutely brilliant for this team, got out of that sixth inning jam, but maybe the only pitcher who's been better than Logan Webb over the last few months, you could make a case it's been Corbin Burns, St. Mary's product who's been outstanding for the Milwaukee Brewers, Cy Young candidate. He got touched up a little bit against the Cincinnati Reds in his last start, but touched up is a relative term for Corbin Burns. It's not like a guy goes out, gives up six or seven runs over three or four innings. This guy's been so dominant that any slight slip up, it's just a red flag right now, and that's really a testament to how good he's been.
He gave up hits, which is something he hasn't really been giving up. His whip is still under one. Think about that. For an entire season, his whip is 0.9. Like, that's insane. For Corbin, remember, he missed a couple starts due to a COVID diagnosis earlier in the year. And that's why he's right on the fringes of qualifying. He's only at, I believe, 133 innings right now. But he is still number one in baseball in strikeouts per nine, number one in baseball in strikeouts per walk, number one in baseball in – he could pass Zach Wheeler realistically for strikeouts. Granted, Gerrit Cole just hit 200 the other day, so he won't lead Major League Baseball, but he could lead the National League at some point soon. But Burns is absolutely a Cy Young candidate. It is going to come down to the wire, in my opinion, because – as much of a taboo and as, you know, riders go, playoffs matter, you know, and if Zach Wheeler is not going to be in the playoffs and Corbin Burns, I don't really care about the record. It's like, look, this dude has been the most dominant pitcher on one of the most dominant pitching staffs in the entire league, and they won their division, and they're going to be in the postseason. I mean, it for me, that should carry merit, and he's... You mentioned the Reds. That's one of the best lineups in the National League that nobody's talking about. Castellanos and Votto are having career years. You throw in the power of Eugenio Suarez and Aquino. Yes, their batting averages are down, but they had doubles and homers in that series against the Brewers. It's amazing what Burns has done. The cutter is legit. 95, 96 sitting. He can touch 97, 98. Oh, by the way, he had that 10 consecutive strikeout to match Tom Seaver against the Cubs. Say what you want about the Cubs. 15 total strikeouts in that game. Look, they're in the big leagues. It was in Wrigley. It was amazing. The kid has risen to every challenge. And quite frankly, we were talking about this the other day, that if you're going to face challenges now, if you're going to learn how to pitch out of first and second bases loaded jams, do it now. Do it in August. Do it in September so that it doesn't feel so foreign. Because, look, you are facing the best of the best in the playoffs. If you haven't faced these high-stress, high-tense innings, that's when you're in danger. And you look at guys like him and Woodruff, their total like runners and scoring position numbers against, it's minuscule. It's under 40 at-bats for the entire season. It's insane how little traffic there's been against these guys, and that should continue coming into September and into October. All that Craig Kencel worries about is health.
Talking with Dom Catronio here, statistician for the Brewers broadcast team, of course, here in Atlanta today with TBS, national statistician as well. Dom's been following Milwaukee all season. The Giants and the Brewers had a tremendous series in Milwaukee. Giants ended up taking 2 of 3. They really stressed their high leverage arms. Jake McGee, Tyler Rogers, Dom Leon had all thrown back-to-back-to-back days for the first time this season. Tells you how close those games were, how low scoring, how just one pitch can be decisive in the outcome. Dom, I want to ask you a little bit about this Brewers team on the road this season, because they've been so good away from Milwaukee. I mean, this is a team that on the road, you can see why the pitching has carried this team, because pitching travels, hitting sometimes doesn't, and Milwaukee has been a menace on the road, and now it's 4 games at Oracle Park. They'll finish up with 3 games at Dodger Stadium. There's still very many challenges left for Milwaukee, but this is a team that's proven it's not phased going to the Western time zone.
There's still time to see what happens, and I use this analogy with, like, we talk about a guy with reverse splits, like a lefty has really good numbers against righties for some reason. It's like reverse splits, but for home and road. Everyone says, hey, if you win 2/3 of your games at home, just go .500 on the road. And the Brewers are doing the exact opposite. They're winning 2/3 of their games on the road, and they're .500 at home. They're only 3 games over .500 at American Family Field this year. And I look back to that Giants series. Man, I mean, you think about it, and the Brewers certainly feel this way. They were 2 plays away from sweeping that series. The Avi drop in right field and just one bad pitch by Brett Anderson there in the Sunday finale, and that was the whole series. It's amazing to think how close the Brewers were to sweeping the Giants in Milwaukee. And kudos to the Giants that they persevered. I mean, that 11-inning game was insane. The Rowdy Tellez walk-off, and that was at a time that the Brewers were really, really peaking. As were the Giants, and it was a great playoff matchup. I personally would love to see that again in the NLCS, and these two pitching staffs, top to bottom, are, in my opinion, I know the Dodgers have a great starting rotation. Top to bottom, the Giants and Brewers are the number one and number two pitching staffs in baseball, in my opinion, bar none. I know the Dodgers have Scherzer. I know they got maybe the NL Cy Young and Walker Buehler. That bullpen is still got a lot to figure out. This bullpen. Kudos to Gabe Kapler and his team, man. Every single guy is ready if it's the 7th, 8th, 9th, even the 5th. I mean, you look at yesterday, the combined shutout. Man, that couldn't follow script any better. But it hasn't always been like that. You don't get 15 shutouts by accident, and it's been all hands on deck. It's really impressive to see what they've been doing.
Oh, Gabe Kapler shout out. So I hope that Marty's listening closely with the management of the bullpen. National perspective here from Dom Catronio. One thing that I do want to ask you about is that final series of the season. The Brewers will be in L.A. to play the Dodgers at that point. The Giants will be at home hosting the San Diego Padres. The Padres very much could have something to play for in a wild card berth. The Giants could very much have something to play for. The Dodgers could very much have something to play for. The Brewers should have wrapped up the National League Central by then. What do you foresee happening in that final weekend? Is Craig Counsell the type of guy who would rest starters? Is he the type of guy who would go away from, you know, Devin Williams and Josh Hader at the end of games if Milwaukee's wrap things up and they will be in an NLDS against the Braves?
Well, think about it this way. Counsell's been very good about usage and been very careful of how much he uses Hader. One thing that you'll notice when you look at Hader's line, aside from the COVID diagnosis that made him miss 2 weeks, he hasn't pitched in a ton of games. And part of that is because when he's getting loose in the eighth inning, all of a sudden the Brewers get add-on runs and he can sit Josh Hader down. You know, he's not going to use and burn Hader. Now, by winning the division, it is so crucial because then you get those extra days off. You get to relax. And you talk to most relievers in baseball, hey, I need the ball. I need to throw live innings to keep my feel. I don't think he would be shy to use a guy like Williams or Hader and things like that. Because, yes, let's be honest, if the Brewers go according to plan, they're 7.5 up going into play today, that they should have it well wrapped up by that point. As for the Dodgers, man, that's the last thing they want to see. If they need to win a game to try to claim the West, and, of course, the Giants will be playing the Padres at that time. So, and the beauty of the last day of the season, right, everybody plays at the same time. So if you get suddenly a quick game and you get to see the scoreboard and do scoreboard watching the rest of the night, like, ooh, that's going to be so much fun. Council's been really good with six-man rotation really for the entire second half, using guys sparingly. They're going to qualify. He's got Cy Young candidates, but quite frankly, he's put it simply. Yeah, innings is cool, whatever. What matters is October. These guys need to be ready for October. And to answer your question, I could see them spacing things out down the stretch just to set up for the postseason, but by winning the division, getting those extra days off, that's what's really going to pay off for the Brewers.
Well, it's a fascinating National League race right now. The Brewers very much in the thick of things, visiting Oracle Park for 4 games against the Giants this week. We thank Dominic Catronio for his time as always. Dom, great to do this in person today.
Gosh, we're almost there, man. Can't wait to see you in the postseason, Kerry. Thanks for having me.
All right, a lot more coming up next on Talkin' Baseball. Marty, Bill, and Kerry, you're listening to KBR 104.5, 680, the